but it won't make me happy. That's where I am. A story by Ezekiel Kralin in his weblog, zekeblog.wordpress.com. He also makes another one. I'm trying to think of the name of it. I think it's Gay Bible, G-A-Y-Bible. I don't remember what comes after that, but it shouldn't be too hard to find. Ezekiel, E-Z-E-K-I-E-L, Kralin, K-R-A-H-L-I-N, wrote this, I think, 2 or 3, possibly even 4 years ago. And it reads as follows. Larkin says, I'm moving back to San Diego in a few days. I said, no, Larkin, I don't believe you. You would never abandon me. You just like to see me cry. I move 2 feet forward to embrace him, and he does not resist. Yet his arms remain at his side. Larkin says, I am leaving you, Zeke. I have to. Me, weeping into his dark gray nylon windbreaker. I can't take this, Larkin. You put me through so much. I will never meet another man who makes me so happy as you have. Larkin, pushing me away a bit to look into my blurry eyes. Yes, you will, Zeke. He will come along soon after I depart. Me. Perhaps he will, but while he might make me feel loved, no way will I know the joy I have with you. Please tell me you're just testing me. Larkin, with a sigh that belies his deep affection. I have given you the keys to true friendship. Please regard me as your kind teacher who has opened your soul to a brave new reality. Me, looking up at him with great yearning and a tug on his sleeve. That is not right, my beloved dragon. Again, I tell you, no one shall ever touch my heart so nobly as yourself. I cannot live without you. I may not die from heartbreak, though I probably will, but I will surely be so miserable that all joy shall leave my world once you are gone. Larkin. Please, Zeke, I don't have the depth of love you seem to hold for me, and for this I am most sorry. Me, gazing up at my beauty through a wash of tears, I could never hate you for tossing me to the wolves, but loneliness seems to be my lot in life. I'm 63 now, Larkin, and I could never put so much devotion to another only to have him dump me in a year or two, or three, or four, or... Then I break down and fall onto his own darling self, and he embraces me with a sweetness beyond what anyone else in the universe will ever know. He bursts out in tears that flow down my head and onto my face. What was a light drizzle upon our present encounter has turned into a downpour. I am drenched and shivering, but do not care, for under any circumstance, no matter how unpleasant the climb, I prefer above all else to be here in his arms forever. Larkin pulls back in obvious grief, wiping his wet face as he speaks. Look, the plane departs in 3 hours. I must go. I'm sorry, Zeke, but I beg you, please keep the faith. Another will soon come along to ease your heart. I look up at him, his glorious visage that I may never lay eyes upon again. Drink from the well of his friendship, then abruptly turn away to march home. Halfway down the block, I turn round to see his cherished form diminish into the sunset. I go home now to write this in non-stop weeping. The days come and go, but each afternoon I maintain my vigil outside Twin Peaks Tavern, not believing for a moment he's really disappeared from my world. But his wonderful lizard self does not appear to delight my heart and give such blessing upon this trembling soul with a smile, a nod, a wave of the hand, or even a single, "Urgh!" He is gone, Zeke, speaks a small voice in my mind, which I refuse to accept. So more weeks pass into months, yet my beleaguered spirit remains steadfast in its devotional watch over TPT. Twin Peaks Tavern, each and every afternoon. In spite of the know-nothing bums that populate Jane Warner Plaza and the cold-hearted queers who wouldn't give me the time of day even if I asked, I do not long for another handsome and kind fellow to sweeten my difficult life, though of course I'm not opposed to this, and wish it would occur to give me some sort of brotherly solace, but as usual it never manifests, though I have sent 4 letters so far to my ultimate heartbreak. He has never writ back, and I am afraid the day will come soon that my latest letter will be returned with no forwarding address, just like what finally happened with my Randolph. I see Larkin's ghost each day, imagining us still together. It's all I can do every time to keep from collapsing in heartache right there in the public arena. Returning to my room gives little solace except to further imagine being in my buddy's embrace while enjoying a Scooby-Doo cartoon. Oh, my dear Larkin, I weep most every night in my hovel's simple bedding. I miss you like Romeo misses Juliet, only a gay version thereof. My tears are the only comfort I know anymore. My appetite is gone. I eat a plain fare of oatmeal for breakfast, something cheap at Howard's Cafe, and a simple dish of brown rice and sautéed veggies for dinner. And always, no matter what, I expect to hear Larkin's voice all of a sudden, over the phone, or calling me from across the street or down my block. I cannot believe his glorious mug no longer graces TPT, nor that our sporadic badinage that lights my heart like a Bunsen burner is no longer. He is the most brilliant ghost to ever haunt my waking world, and sometimes my world of sleep, too. An occasional dream gives me hope. We embrace, and he tells me what a good friend I am, and will soon return to be with me, always. He says I'm the finest human being in the universe, and he's so very blessed to have me for a lover. So one afternoon, after almost 5 months since our tragic departure, I repeat my vigil at TPT, as I've always done every single day. The playful image of a dragon crosses my mind in memory of the magic of our friendship. It walks by me from across 17th Street and winks at me before entering TPT. I then espy Larkin through the plate glass, chatting up and hugging the elderly patrons there, delighting as usual in his most unique kind of camaraderie. I'm imagining this, I speak aloud to myself and rub my eyes to make the mirage disappear, but it does not. Larkin glances at me, smiles, and waves a friendly hand. I collapse to the concrete in tears of joy and bury my head in my arms, thanking Goddess over and over again. He is suddenly crouched over me, showering me with many kisses and sugary hugs. I'm really sorry, Zeke, to have put you through such an ordeal, he explains with copious tears. But before he continues, I stop him, look up into that magnificent Celtic face, and declare, Larkin, I understand. Just shut up and hold me. And he does exactly that. Some minutes later, he pulls me up off the sidewalk to escort me into the tavern and introduces me to all his friends and the bartenders. This is my great love and soulmate, Zeke. All suddenly becomes pin drop silent in the bar as he continues. No finer man exists on this planet or on any other. He is the greatest happiness of my life. I'm the luckiest man in the universe. Thus ends book three and begins a new and eternal life of love for me, for him, for you, and for everyone else that exists, ever has existed, and ever will exist. Amen. And that was a piece from one of the books that Ezekiel Krelin has written. And just it alone is titled, But It Won't Make Me Happy. I was waiting for some kind of twist to happen and have it be all weird and Twilight Zone-y, but it's just boy meets boy, boy loses boy, boy gets boy back. Oldest story in the book.